This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
Vic Fangio, who was a favorite here in Chicago.
All right, let's continue this love fest. Go ahead.
He's an evil genius. The guy, he knows the game in and out.
He's really a mob boss, though.
A mob boss.
Evil genius. And
I love what Vic Fangio does. I call it the Predator, Sean.
What the hell are you?
What is the Predator, Sean?
Wait,
poor John.
You still never watch Predator, right?
No.
Seen that movie?
I have seen.
He's in the movie, Joe?
I know.
Me either.
No?
Yeah.
No?
People could see why someone of Shane's age missed Predator, right? I didn't see it until
I avoided it.
Yeah, yeah. But Speaks, that seemed to have been right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. I made some active choices not to watch Predator.
Yeah.
What were they?
Tecmo Bowl was definitely one of them.
Okay, I get that.
Are you open to watching it? Or is that
Vic Fangio defense? Absolutely.
No, Predator.
I don't know.
Come on! Do it now!
I've gone this far.
Yeah. Should we watch Predator instead of the show tomorrow?
Instead of doing the show?
Like Lawrence is out. It's you and Grody. Just let Grody do it.
Or I could watch it with Ruben. Instead of forcing him to sit through ones from my youth, I could say, let's watch this together, young fella.
Dylan, you son of a bitch.
What's the matter? The CIA got you pushing too many pencils.
Who are the actors?
Stallone?
No.
No, Schwarzenegger?
Yes.
Carl Weathers?
Whoa. There's still plenty of meat on that bone. Now you take this home, throw it in a pot, add some broth, a potato. Baby, you got a stew going.
Jesse Ventura's in
there. Someone's son of a bitch is dug in like an Alabama tick.
You're hit. You're bleeding, man.
I ain't got time to bleed.
We have lost the tether to Vic Fangio, so let's get back to Vic Fangio.
So now our number one concern is that predators are watching our body heat.
Peter, that's just a movie. That's not real.
No, I think we need to cover ourselves in mud to avoid being seen.
Peter, Joe's right. It's only a movie.
Oh, God, somebody farted.
Ah, it stinks.
We should not rule out the predator having been the farter.
The official adventures of Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
Some of the active choices I made to not watch Predator back in the day were based on the fact that I was, and Mark Grody, this may shock you, I suspect it won't shock, Shane Reardon and Chris Tannehill, I was an elitist movie windbag in the late 1980s. I watched Empire of the Sun instead. I watched Full Metal Jacket instead. I'm sure I watched Raising Arizona instead. These are all 1987 movies, and I'm sure I was like, oh, Predator, oh, it's beneath me. And, you know, nowadays I'm much more likely to watch whatever happens to be good and entertaining, but my elitist windbag tendencies perhaps remain. Good afternoon, everybody.
If it makes you feel better,
it does. Immediately it does.
This will make you feel even better. I have not seen Predator either.
Wow.
I would not classify myself.
Yeah,
I know. Would not classify myself as kind of an elitist like you. Like, while you're watching Empire of the Sun, I'm watching Empire Strikes Back, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay? I do indeed.
That's
but
really where I was.
But it sounds like you and I are going to be together a lot over the course of the next couple of weeks here, Mark. It sounds right. like one of these days we need to come in here early and hang out, get a bowl of popcorn, and watch Predator.
You guys just want to come over to my house after the show today and watch it?
Going to the Bulls game, dude. Remember?
Oh, I tried to forget.
Remember all that Bulls talk?
He's got plans with the Dorf.
I did promise these guys, though. Dorf yes. is the score historian. Put a little respect behind
unofficial.
That.
Unofficial.
We got to hold this for later.
Yeah, I'd say Tom Scherer is the...
Yo, that's right. Tom Scherer is the overall leader. And here's five reasons why. But yes, I will be going to the Bulls game tonight. I promise that I would talk about everything except for the Bulls game when I arrive here tomorrow, unless something really juicy happens in the Bulls game.
Well,
tonight.
You got to see Modest Buzelis, who I'm told was a big part of the midday show.
Modest Buzelis is a star.
Is that what was going down?
Oh, yeah.
A star. I like hearing it. Like,
sure.
I haven't watched enough Modest Buzelis this year to make that proclamation.
That's why people say things. I'm going to say a lot of things on the course of the afternoon. Grody, join me. Shall you?
Absolutely. You know what? Actually, Spiegel, I was thinking about this. The last time you and I hosted together, this foursome,
yes.
if I may.
Yes, you may.
There was breaking news that day. That was the day that Ben Johnson was hired. So what breaking news will we get today?
What are you talking about? We got it in transition.
Oh, that's right.
Brandon
Burnsy
Ingram
spoiled our lead. At least we don't have to talk about Brandon Ingram in the first section of the show today.
I meant to say this directly to Dan. He's not here, so I'll just say it about him.
There he is.
Dan, nobody cares about Brandon Ingram's extension.
This right. from Stonecutter. Brandon Ingram signed a three-year, $120 million.
I'd rather hear a well-crafted email from Stonecutter than I would about Brandon Ingram's extension in Toronto. I don't care.
Spiegel is angry about out-of-town basketball coming from Dan Bernstein.
Did you read Craig Calcaterra's newsletter today?
No, I did not. No, it was great. Len
you
Casper.
Me,
oh, there it is. Len Casper texted me the other day. It was glorious. He set me up. I think I sent you guys a screenshot. Hey, did you read Joe Sheehan? He said about the Cubs. And I said, no, I just wait for Bernsey to read it to me in transition.
That deserved a rim
Thank
shot.
Thank you, Chuck.
That's okay.
Thanks very much. But we are going to talk some Cubs. Sorry for the distraction.
Hey, maybe the Cubs will sign Bregman. Maybe that'll be the breaking news during the show today. Maybe Bregman!
I did a podcast the other day with our Odyssey teammate, Rob Bradford.
He's awesome!
Rob does the great Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. He's terrific. He knows lots of people around the game. And as we were talking, it dawned on me, and as I've read all these stories that have come out, Busteroni and Jeff Passan and many more with like their, ooh, spring training's actually here because the Cubs reported yesterday, White Sox report today, at least Chris Getz is there today, he spoke today, Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell spoke on Sunday. Not a lot of other stuff going on Sunday, so that's always a good day
right,
to talk.
Right.
But anyway... The Cubs are one of Major League Baseball's most intriguing teams right now because there are still moves to be made. There is still room in their salary structure to get towards that $241 million that Tom Ricketts has made pretty clear is going to be their number. And they are very much in the hunt on Alex Bregman. There are a lot of people that think Alex Bregman wants to play for the Cubs.
That's his first choice.
The Astros and the Cubs would be his first two choices. But the Astros don't seem to be getting where he wants to go. I don't buy the story that's been out there all offseason that Bregman had a six-year, $156 million deal that he turned down from Houston. I don't think that deal ever existed. So Bregman wants them. And if they don't get Bregman, they might go Justin Turner as a guy to kind of buy some time for Matt Shaw.
That he would be your starting third baseman, is what you're saying.
Starting third baseman, or there could be even more. If they don't get Bregman, they could instead use their money to sign another pitcher. And sure, it could be a reliever like Andrew Chafin, but it could also be trading for Dylan Cease or for Michael King in a trade with San Diego, especially if San Diego gets Nick Pivetta, which is one of the rumors that's out there. So, look, that's a lot of moving parts already. And then there's this. I've heard this, that there could even be the subtraction of a fairly big number on this payroll if they did get Bregman. Like, let's say they got Bregman, it still might not mean that they don't go out and trade for Dylan Cease because they might send, say, a Suzuki packing and have the DH be a combination of all these people. Maybe sometimes it's Bregman. Sometimes it is Matt Shaw if he's up here. They could have the rotating DH as they have had before. Now, look, they're a much better team with Bregman and Saya, of course, but are they a better team with Bregman and Dylan Cease minus Saya? I think that's incredibly interesting and compelling, because then if you did that, maybe you could also sign that reliever like Andrew Chafin otherwise. So what I've just given you is a lot of potential moving parts at this point in an offseason, when we know they moved late last year. When Cody Bellinger's market came back to them in late February, there he was. And it's a win now moment for the Chicago Cubs.
If this is a win now moment, if this truly is that, and you, in connecting the dots, you could kind of see that this is that it is heading in that direction, then guess what? Then I don't really want to hear much about Matt Shaw right now. That if that's what it is to be, okay, let's make, then third base needs to be a slam dunk of a player. You have to have, so if it's not Bregman, I guess Turner is okay, but I don't want to hear about Matt Shaw. I don't want to hear much about Owen Casey. I want to hear about guys that are going to win this year, if that's what this is all about.
You want to hear
an interesting experiment, or it's a change in thought process with the Cubs, because having been around it, and you have been too, since when the first rebuild started and then the winning happened and then we all got used to young players and development, that is a fast change of philosophy to be in go-for-it mode in a one-year capacity, because it sure doesn't sound like they're going to get Tucker signed to any kind of a long-term deal.
Well, that's part of it, you know, and we're going to throw open the phone lines and talk with you guys. Do you agree that this Cubs moment is intriguing? Are you intrigued? There are people picking them to win that division. There are people picking them to win 91 games. There are others, there are some projections that have them down at 85.5. There's a wide range of predictions. I saw one national writer say that they might be the surprise great team in baseball this year. Like, a lot of people intrigued with where the Cubs are and what the possibilities are. We'll throw open the phone lines. I want to talk to you about it. 312-644-6767. But this is part of the backdrop. Why has it changed? It's Council's second year, but it's Jed Hoyer's lame duck year. This is Jed Hoyer, very open, I thought, on Sunday, talking about his status and how he thinks about it in his final year of his contract.
Yeah, I think that with, you know, does it feel different than it has in the past? A little bit. You know, I've been here for 14 years, and sort of generally in my career, I haven't had much uncertainty, you know, and so I think with uncertainty does come a level of anxiety. I think that would be a lie to say that it doesn't. Has it caused sort of like, you know, some introspection along the way? Like, I think that's fair to say, but, you know, when I look at, you know, we have a great front office, we have an incredible manager and a great coaching staff. I think we put together a really good team. We still have a really good farm system. I think every arrow is sort of pointing up on this organization right now. So, you know, I just think there's a lot more opportunity for me, for Carter, than there is risk. And I'm super proud of what we built with a lot of really good people. So, you know, that's kind of how I look at it. Certainly, like I said, it's probably had some moments of introspection as you do that, because, like I said, my stability in Chicago has been remarkable. But at the same time, I'm super excited for this year and what we have going forward.
So introspection, use the word anxiety along the way there. I think this is a win now year with clear restrictions, but still a win now year. I love your thought that if it is a win now year, you don't want to see Matt Shaw handed the job at third base.
Right, and I'm not as excited about, you know, an Alcantara obviously PCA, I think, is here to stay, but even he, if he is faltering early, like this idea of keep playing him through everything, if it's win now, then Craig Council's going to have to manage hard during the season. So, yeah, I mean, it does seem odd.
We will hear from Craig Council in the next segment. We'll also hear from you. Phone lines are open at 312-644-6767. If this is a win now year for the Cubs, then what do you want to see? And are you intrigued? I am. actually. Let's talk about it. Angelo Cataldi at the top of the hour on the Eagles and Philly and Andy Reid. But until then, it's Cubs Talk, Spiegs and Grody on the Score.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Shaw, Ballesteros, Owen Casey, expect all those guys to make their big league debuts at some point this year. And you're right, they will. They are serving as, you know, they're the depth this year, and that's an exciting, those are exciting kind of depth pieces. Not maybe traditional, but that, I think that's points to some of the health of the organization. And I think, you know, we're going to need some of those, one or multiple of those guys to surprise us this year, and probably one of them or multiple of them will play more than we're projecting right now. So you're going to need success from one or multiple of those.
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons on the Score.
It is 670 the Score. Spiegel and Holmes here. Mark Grody in with me, Maddie Spiegel, talking Cubs, talking about this intriguing moment, and if they are indeed in what feels like a win now moment. It is win now, of course, with some restrictions that are coloring a lot of the comments via text line, and let's see if they're coloring the phone calls as well. This is Joe in St. Charles. You're on the Score. Hey, Joe, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Hey, man, you know what? 16 didn't mean anything in 17, so I say, screw it. Go for it. Anytime you got a chance to win, go for it.
You'd love to see ownership with that same attitude of just going for it, going for it.
Let's just do this crazy 2025 thing. Let's just do it. Let's put all our marbles in 1 year and just absolutely go for it. I also don't – what you're saying right now, though, about Tom Ricketts and how he may not be all in, this is why Jed Hoyer will get an extension with the Cubs. Jed Hoyer will be back as the president of baseball operations with the Chicago Cubs.
See, I think it depends what they do. If it's another 83-79 team, I don't think he does.
Here's what it is.
I think it's playoffs or bust Jed Hoyer.
Well, I think that's why this is happening, that Tom Ricketts has told Jed Hoyer, you got to make the playoffs, buddy. You haven't made it in 4 years, since the pandemic year.
I think it's fait accompli. I think even Jed would understand.
You think Tom Ricketts is ambitious enough to fire the president of baseball operations and go try to find another one? He has lacked ambition for the last 4 years as well.
These guys are hired to wear the restrictions on their sleeve. These guys are hired to give voice to it. And Theo was better at articulating it than Jed is, but Jed's pretty darn good at articulating, we're going for it, but yeah, there is within reason. I mean, sometimes it just gets written flat out. Pat Mooney and Sahada the other day wrote about how some, even within the Cubs organization, are upset at some of what it is, but this is how it works. They're given a budget, they're told what the budget is, and then Tom Ricketts lets them do whatever the hell they want. So Jed's got his budget. He knows he's not supposed to go above 241. That's the reality of it. And so, but he's got to win with that. He's supposed to win with that. And we should be in the business of building 90-win teams,
so you think that,
said Craig Council.
What is coming from Tom Ricketts is, come on, man. I'm giving you plenty of money to take care of this. And so he would give $240 million to the next. Because if you go hire another president of baseball operations, that guy's going to want to do things differently. And he's going to want to hear, I need at least $300 million from your big team here if I'm going to come and be your manager. Is this a precedent he wants to set?
A lot of people talk about Dave Dombrowski Gronkowski is one of the greatest general managers in the history of baseball, and he's really good. He's won a lot of places. You know what he's done? You know what he's done?
Detroit
he's,
and Boston
and yeah. Philly, yeah. And he's timed it out really well, where he goes to places where ownership is truly ready to let it fly.
Interesting. So where's Tom? So, that's what I'm saying. Tom, is Tom ready to let it fly?
Well, so maybe he won't hire Dave Dombrowski, is what I'm saying.
Well, right.
No.
So
then
keep Jed Hoyer.
But see, here's the thing. It, like a texter says, why are we doing any subtractions if this is a win now moment? I get Bregman plus Cease minus Saya is better, but we all know Bregman plus Cease plus Saya equals NLCS. Well, of course, not necessarily. But here's the thing. I'm living in the space where the restrictions are known and open. And I'm okay living in that space as we think about it because we don't have a choice. Like, I could spend every moment pushing against the idea that there are restrictions, but this is the truth of it. And we'll talk about it in more detail along the way. They're not the Mets with Steve Cohen, who's got all of that hedge fund money. They're not the Phillies with John Middleton, who's willing to spend over the top like crazy and does have a very good TV deal. They're certainly not the Dodgers with their printing press that they have for an absurd television deal that is done, plus their deferral tricks, which maybe other teams will start to use, but we haven't seen it much. Even the Yankees bitched about the Dodgers. Even Hank Steinbrenner bitched about the Dodgers last week. But the Cubs are also not the Yankees.
Right.
They're the number 12 payroll in baseball right now. It's probably going to end up somewhere around 7
they're
not or 8.
The Cubs are a big market. There's now a thing called the supermarket.
They are right at the top of the second tier, along with Atlanta, who seems like a first tier, but really they just made a lot of intelligent spending with long-term deals with some of their young players.
Stars, they've had lots of stars.
They do, but if that money starts to look bad, I'll be interested to see whether Atlanta throws good money after that with a lot of money still on the books. I'm not sure if they will or not. So the Cubs are really more like that. But anyway, we could get lost in the money of it, but I actually think what they have is a pretty darn intriguing team, and it's an intriguing moment because they're trying to finish the job.
Win with this. Are they the best team in the division?
They are and should win the division, even with the restrictions. This is Drew in Highland Park on 670 The Score. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. I think the Cubs are in a really terrible win-now position. As you guys were just saying, like, they have to compete with the Dodgers financially, and every team has to. And what I would hate for them to do is to be in a situation where they can't compete with them financially, so they leverage the farm system. They start trading away guys like Cade Horton, Owen Casey, in order to bring new guys in. And afterward, if those guys don't turn out, if they don't really make your team into a playoff team, like we had seen with Quintana, then you're kind of hitting reset again.
Yeah.
You know, in so many aspects, they built a good farm system to get them to the point where they can be sustainable. And that's what the Brewers are doing. That's what many other these other good teams are doing, is building from within. And if they are in that win now moment, spend the money.
Well, it's a great point by you about the aggression, and they just did it. The biggest thing that they gave up in the Kyle Tucker trade was not Isak Paredes, who they got for Christopher Morel, was not Hayden Wisniewski, who they got for Scott Efros. It was Cam Smith, the former first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up a big-time prospect.
That's
a real
prospect.
They gave up a real dude to get 1 year with possibilities for more of Kyle Tucker. And you might see more. These Dylan Cease and Michael King rumors, those would be prospects again. You build up the farm system so you can either play them and keep sustainable like Milwaukee, or you can try to use them to get you the final pieces you need to be great.
God, if Milwaukee, because this is the year, right? With Milwaukee having given up on or traded Devin Williams, right? I was getting mixed up, and Willy Adames signs with San Francisco, the mega deal. So now. And obviously, you know, I think Corbin Burns will be back at some point in time this year, I think, but not right away. Mm-hmm. If they're still good this year, if they're still a 93-win team.
You mean Brandon Woodruff.
Brandon Woodruff.
Yeah, Burns.
Yes. I got my two aces mixed up. Yes.
Gotcha. All good.
Yes. If they're still good, then there's a real problem. Because last year, as you recall, the whole season was waiting for Milwaukee to fall off the top. And they did a little bit, but it didn't happen. With a bunch of mystery men pitchers in that set. If Willy Contreras and Christian Yelich and Jackson Chirios can still carry that team,
yeah.
I'm going to be surprised. But God, this is the year that if they're still good this year, then the division has a real problem.
Texter Cade in Stillman Valley. You are right, Speaks. The Cubs aren't like those teams in the top tier, which begs the question, why aren't they? It's a great question. Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to talking about this and giving some context, some things known, some things assumed, some things learned through the decades as a baseball guy about why they are where they are and some of the realities. And I'm looking forward. We're going to have plenty of time over the course of the next couple of weeks. And I promise you, call this, Shane, a 23-hour tease, maybe a 24-hour tease. We have anything at 3 o'clock tomorrow? Call it 3 o'clock tomorrow.
I'm doing my bull segment at 3 o'clock
Pat tomorrow. Manley tomorrow, I think, at 3.
I thought Ben's Vision tomorrow at 3 o'clock, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
We can mess around with it. And, Mark, before we break, thank you for creating supermarkets in this segment.
I'm glad you guys caught that. Because right after I said it, I'm like, oh, yeah. Supermarkets.
Dominic's was my favorite. But yeah, maybe call it a 22-hour tease. Maybe 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Oh, great. This is going
to
be awesome.
I will give you some big picture stuff on the Cubs financials and try to give some context to that.
Do we have to, not that Lawrence isn't a big baseball fan, but do we have to limit Spiegel at some point in time with the baseball
stuff? That's a good thought.
Take your break.
Lawrence, it's been a lot.
Sorry, I'll put it back in my pants. Angelo Cataldi on all things Philly and Andy Reid. He's the best. We'll have some fun next on The Score.